Hi everyone, I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks. Well, welcome everyone. We are continuing our journey through Final Fantasy IX. We just left off, we got through, what was it, Gizamaluk's grotto, and we also, you know, had our little stint at Southgate with Steiner in Dagger, of course. And so, continuing on, we're back with Zidane, Freya, Vivi, and Kina, and so kind of just tagging on to where we left off. My playthrough, was lucky enough to get that ice staff. If you are also just as lucky as me, it's kind of funny because if you just attack with him in these battles, it's kind of insane how much damage increase that staff does. You know, I mean, he's in the back row, obviously. I don't know why you'd ever put him in the front row. But from the back row, he does about 100 to 120, which, I mean, it's Vivi, you know? It's kind of funny. But I was back attacked once, and so he was then on the front row, and he hit, and he was doing like 250, and it's like, geez, man, like, just ice staff.
So that's physical attacks?
Physical attacks. Yeah, I was just trying to eat some things, you know? And so he's just over there smacking some stuff. And it's like, it's crazy how much a difference that made.
I bet his Blazara at this point, I always remember, does like 600 damage or something like that.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
It is pretty insane. It's absolutely insane. We'll get into a little bit more on that as we move forward. But at this point, you don't have much to do. I mean, you're into the open world again. You know, obviously, we're trying to get to Bermesia. So just a couple things. Obviously, you got that next Chocobo or Chocograph treasure, I guess, which really all it is it just you get your Chocobo upgrade, which is kind of cool. I mean, what you can walk through Reese right now, still not really useful at the moment, but I mean, it's there, so if you were lucky enough to not have to farm over an hour like I did at the Chocobo Forest and you got it, definitely pick that up. And then we can stop off at Northgate again. These locations seem to be all over the place.
Right, yeah, and that part's actually kind of tricky. It's funny because, first of all, you have to know, you know, that the Healing Shores Chocograph would be the one that, like, you'd have to know that was the location.
True.
And then you've got to trek on foot all the way over to Shoreline, pretty much over there, to find the first Chocobo tracks that you can actually use the Gasol Greens on.
Yeah, you do have to walk all the way over there, which
a
is,
long way.
You know, where plenty of time to test out that new ice staff, you know, with Vivi. But yeah, if you do that, then you do have the Chocobo there now. So that's kind of cool. You know, you don't have to worry about random battles if you're not really wanting to do that. And so right on over to Northgate, you get some kind of little funny cutscenes right there, right? I mean, there's nothing to do there. There's just a tent and, I don't know, I can't even remember what all the other treasure is, so obviously it's not that noteworthy, but
yeah, just a couple items. And, like, the scene's, I think, the best part here.
Of course.
You've got the scene with Kina smelling and eating the flowers.
Flower tastes good. She says, and then it's funny because anytime, you know, these little scenes happen with Kina, she's always just like in her own little world, usually, you know, just off to the side, own little world, and everyone's just sitting there talking about her, and it's like she doesn't hear any of it, you know, or just simply doesn't care or something. But yeah, well, it's pretty much just like Freya and Zidane talking about how carefree she is, you know. Maybe Freya should be more like him, her, you know. And It's kind of a short little funny thing, you know, not really any point unless you just kind of want that tent and other item there and just to see it all.
Yeah, but other than that, you just head on straight over to Bermesia, which is pretty easy to find. You just head straight from the, what was the last place, Gizamaluk's Grotto, straight on over there. And you can always tell when you're getting close because it just starts raining. The enemies along the way are pretty pretty average as well. I'm trying to think. There's the Yeti and then the Lizard Man, and, you know, they don't really do anything special. They're pretty easy to defeat, so.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's good experience, of course. You know, it's good AP. It's good, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little boring. You know, I kind of like to have a little bit of a challenge, and yeah, those open world, not much there in ways of a challenge, but once you do get to Bermesia, what is it? It's the Realm of Eternal Rain, it says. So that's got to be a fun place. Sounds like North Europe, but you know,
Or Seattle or something like that.
yeah, exactly.
Vancouver.
Yeah, but you know, you get there and it's just a little banter, not much going on. Kind of progress through, and then you're greeted with some familiar faces. Good old Zorn and Throne say, "Hey guys, what's up?" You know, pretty much, and they kind of allude to a general. First, I guess they send black mages after you, and once again, you know, it's like the exact same black mages. You know, like nothing's improved.
Yeah.
Still just a piece of cake, and you're still wondering like, how the heck are these guys taking over a kingdom? There must
Well,
just be
man,
hundreds of thousands. I don't know.
who knows? Maybe they don't even have headgear equipped or something like that. So their magic's doing like 150 with fire, you know.
Yeah, taking out the rats.
Yeah, no, the Taipeis, I think. Actually, no, sorry, I got that backwards. These black mages are the Type Cs, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not really that special. I mean, they can do okay damage. You do like 90 with thunder and fire and
Yeah.
all that kind of stuff. But one thing I forgot to mention is right when you get into Bermesia, you have the opportunity to get Cancer, the Zodiac coin. The Slazio coin at this point, of course.
There
But
you
I always
go.
just thought that was kind of funny. You walk into Bermesia and you find like a little exclamation mark behind a crate. It's all received Cancer.
Receive, and you're like, "Oh
Yeah. So.
Well, that's actually, I'm glad you said that, man, because I totally missed that in my game. So I'm gonna have to go back and snag that real quick. Yeah, no. So, anyways, yeah, the black mages. Well, and kind of just to drive the nail home with that, you know, and how easy they are. It is. I mean, they're okay, but the thing is, with a party of four, I mean, that's what really makes them a cake, you know. And they just don't really have that much health. But you kick their butts again, and then that's when Zorn and Thorn are like, you know, they say the general, which, you know, you may be able to piece two and two together at this point, but it kind of just like it's kind of alluding to something more, you know. Of course, where they're at is just, I guess it's a house or something. It's a giant house, and be ready to just go on a nice little trek back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
So I think the first place you go into, there's a couple of chests, and
Yep.
this is the point when you'll definitely come upon a chest, and then it'll come to life, and you get into a battle with an enemy called the Mimic.
Yep.
These guys really suck. I hate the Mimics because the very first thing they do is they call a, I think they're called the Magic Vice.
Magic
It's
Vice,
an
yep.
enemy, right? These enemies are a real pain because they're just like the earlier vices that you fought in the game back at the Dali underground section.
Yeah.
But they have the ability to steal, and they can take some crazy good items from you, like elixirs, obviously high potions, tents, all of these types of things.
Yeah, and they usually, especially the mimic one, I don't know if it's different because you will just encounter the magic vices as well. I don't know if it's different for the chest or not, but just in my experience with the mimic chest, when it summoned the magic vice, the first thing they did each time was steal. And luckily the first couple times were potions, but one was a high potion. But like you said, I mean, they can steal just about anything in your inventory. And I did check, and it is a fact that even if you kill them after they steal the item, you do not get it back. And so it's like that item is lost, which sucks. Because like you said, an elixir, man, at that point, I mean, yeah, there's not many kind of fights at this point that it's like, yeah, I really need to use an elixir right now. But it's nice to have and not just lose because something stole it from you.
And it's the fact that, I never checked that. I always just kind of assumed it was like Final Fantasy VII, where if they steal something from you, kill them, you get it back.
Yeah.
So that's news to me, and I'm sure I've lost some elixirs that way. I mean,
Absolutely.
guaranteed. And these guys are also a real pain because if you do have Kena at this point, it's a good idea to try and eat one of them. She can get Magic Hammer,
Yeah.
which is a pretty nice skill. It's not like Final Fantasy VII's Magic Hammer where it replenishes your own MP, but it does a lot of MP damage to enemies.
Yes, which also makes them even more sucky because they will use it on you. You know, sure, while using on Zidane or Freya or even Kena isn't that big of a deal. You know, if they use it on Vivi, it can do up to 40 MP damage, which that's crazy. I mean, that's like most of all of their pools. Vivi has a little bit more, but still, that kind of sucks. And so,
Yeah, seriously.
just not a very fun enemy. But anyways, yeah, you'll get the mimic chest. You'll go in, it's like, oh, okay. And so what you go, I'm trying to remember. I think you have to start off on the right side. I mean, you can go to the left side, But if you start off on the right side, it goes, if you progress through it, it drops down kind of like a little piece of the, I don't know, the floor or whatever. So that way you then go back to the left. But that first mimic's on the right. You go to the left.
Yeah.
It pops another mimic. And at that point, you start having some PTSD when you go to open chest. Because it's like, I don't, is it going to be a mimic? I don't know. Uh-huh. Like, you know, I just encountered two. And so it's not fun.
Yeah, and I know that balcony that you're, or not the balcony, but that walkway that you're talking about, took me forever to get that trick, and I'm trying to remember again which way it is. I believe you're right. It's where you basically, you go up the stairs to the right, go through a couple other sections of the map, and then you get to that point, and it's like this little walkway where you have to walk, otherwise it drops down, and then Zidane jumps off. But if you do, there's a chance to get Jemima's boots in one of those chests.
Is that what it is? Okay, so I couldn't remember it either, and I had it fall, and yes, then you can miss out on that treasure chest.
You never can get it, right? Luckily, it's not a missable, but that's something that I never knew.
No, I didn't. I mean, I'm sure I knew it maybe at some point, but I totally forgot, and yeah, I went charging in on my playthrough. I just did.
Yeah,
I think yesterday, and I was like, well, hopefully it's nothing good, because I mean, ideally there's not really any noteworthy treasures in Bermesia. We'll get to what is kind of noteworthy coming up here in a moment, but I hoped I didn't miss. But if it's just those boots, that's good, because you can get those plenty. But all right, so you gotta walk. If you walk, it doesn't fall. Interesting.
That's the trick there.
Okay, well, we are going to continue obviously in Bermesia, but let's get to our bold move first. Alex, why don't you go ahead and start us off with your bold move.
All right, so for my bold move this week, taking it to Final Fantasy X.
Okay.
At the High Bridge section of the game, when you're at Bavel and you've just escaped from the Via Purifico and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was a bold move for Kimari to be trying to hold off Seymour Flux by himself.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, there's that... He's got his like spear, he stabbed him or something like that, and he's standing there and everybody just ditches him, you know, at the beginning. They eventually go back, obviously, but it's just I always just love thinking about that. It's like, imagine doing just a Kimari only challenge against Seymour Flux.
Oh my
that
gosh. Yeah, dude. No, that's a good point. That's very interesting because seriously, you know, hindsight, you look back and like, dude, come on, you're going to get destroyed, dude. What are you doing right now? You have no chance.
It's going to be like multi-fire or something, and then it's going to be game over.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, mine is, we've talked about this. We laugh about this part all the time. It's Final Fantasy 12, but it was a bold move, you know, jokes aside, for Von Imberjerba saying that he is Bosch von Ronsenberg, because like, you know, that dude's like an enemy of the state, you know what I mean? Like he was a very hated guy at that moment, and like you're just walking around like, hey I'm a terrorist like, yeah, he's lucky that they just pulled him aside and was like, come with us, young boy, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, otherwise...
And, I mean, sorry, that actually kind of makes sense, too, because if you say it, if you yell that in front of the guards, you lose all your points or something like that, and you have to start over the minigame, but that's pretty funny, man.
There could have just been a random resident was like, hey, man, what? And killed him, you know? I don't know. I'll just think about that. Bosch von Ronsenberg of Damascus! And then gets shot. But anyways, those are our bold moves for this segment, so we're going to keep going. We're going to start off with some good treasure in Bermesia. The first real kind of one, well, I guess it's on either side. You get to kind of the courtyard before you get into the, the castle area. And you have two options, two buildings. If you go to the left, it is the treasure that I kind of really like. It's the Mithril Spear, and it has Reese's Wind ability, which is essentially a regen, right?
Yeah, it's regen on all party members, and it's a bonus of, I think, 20 attack versus the 18 attack that you've had with the javelin, so it's a pretty nice upgrade for Freya.
It is. And if, I mean, and if you just have been fighting, you know, I guess a normal amount of random encounters, if that even makes sense, chances are your first spear is, you know, you probably already got it maxed out on AP, so it's a quick, easy switch. Yeah. And then on the other side, you will find a lightning staff, which, I mean, if you were lucky enough to get that ice staff, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I mean, it's just Bizarra for Thundara pretty much, but if you didn't get it, then that is going to be the big upgrade like it was for the ice staff.
Yeah, exactly. And it's likely that if you've just been fighting, you know, a normal amount of battles, you're probably going to stick with the ice staff if you have that, because 50 AP doesn't go quickly.
No. Yeah, so, and you don't exactly want to just start over halfway through.
Yeah. So this is kind of the first part of the game where, you know, if you hadn't gotten the ice staff and you didn't know that you missed that, this is the first point where, as long as you get that chest, which is pretty obvious, you'll finally have your first second level spell.
You know, it's kind of interesting because that is like the longest wait for a weapon upgrade for any of the characters so far. You know what I mean? Like, really, Kena, you already get the needle fork like instantly, pretty much. And, you know, like Vivi's just sitting there holding on to his oak staff forever and ever and ever. It's like, can we please get an upgrade?
Yeah, it's just like the basic staff with fire on it.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I understand because, like you said, you know, for instance, I think the Iron Knight enemies here, they must be weak to ice or something because, dude, my blind Blizzaros were cranking out like 1,400. It's just crazy. Or maybe that was on about, I don't know, regardless, it was around that. But yeah, just one-shotting them pretty much. Yeah, right. And so I can understand then why maybe they waited so long, but hey, still, whatever.
Yeah, and so, hey, buddy, you want to buy something?
What can I get for 333 gil?
How about a soft, high potion and an ether?
Sold. I'll take it.
There you go. That's actually a really good deal, honestly. He always gives you these deals, like 333 gil.
Yeah.
You can bet that I think ethers sell for like 750 gil at least or something.
I think if you sold an ether, I think you get 1,000 gil from it.
Yeah.
And so to buy them, yeah, it would be... Right. It'd be a lot more. And of course, if you're wondering what the heck we're even talking about, that's Stiltskin. So you can't miss him. If you walk into that room with the lightning staff, he comes in right behind you, kind of pretty much. Yep. And so you can't miss him. But yeah, if you talk to him, it's hilarious. He's like, hey, buddy, want to buy something? And it's like, first of all, I don't know you, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
As a Dane, Vivi met you. I didn't. So I'm not sure, pal. No. But
I'm
yeah,
not your
no.
Buddy, guy.
Yeah, I don't want that. But you can help him.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy his stuff. And you know, kind of like as we've alluded to, he will periodically throughout the game show up and be selling some goods. And definitely recommend always, whatever it is, buy it because it's a darn good deal.
Not only is it a really good deal, there's another reason why you want to buy every single one of his offers. And that's because when you get to the end of the game, there's a nice little reward if you do that.
Ah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
extra incentive.
Intent, yeah. And so Stiltskin's in there, and then finally we find Atla the Moogle. We've had this letter. It's like it's all torn and raggeded, you know, we got like dirt all over it. It's like, you know, I've traveled halfway across the world to give you this letter, Atla.
Right.
And I've read them at some point. I didn't read it, so it's whatever, it's the letter. But something you get in return is Atla does give you a coupon nut. So this is actually kind of the first time you've gotten like a reward for turning in the letter.
Yeah, and the coupon nut thing is kind of an interesting little... I don't really want to... It's not really a side quest. I'm not really sure what to call it. But basically, the way this works is... So we talked about the last coupon nut, the one that Vivi had that he got from Limblum.
Right.
That you give to... I can't remember the name of that Moogle, but it's part of the story. You basically have to do it. So every time that you don't have a coupon nut in your inventory, you will receive one for delivering one of these letters. The trick is you have to, the only way to get rid of the coupon nut is to go all the way back to Gizmoluke's Grotto and give it to that one Moogle every single time. And so... It's the rewards vary. It's usually the generic ones are Tent, Phoenix Pinion, Ether. They all equally have, you know, basically you have a 1 in 3 chance of getting each individual one.
Okay.
Interesting. But there's more special ones to get, basically, like, depending on what disc you're on. So if you get to disc 2, you can go give one, and then you'll get an elixir. Disc 3 is an extension, and disc 4 is a set of Aloha gear, which we'll get into later. But anyways.
Yes. And that that mog is Maguta. I went back and looked at it real quick. And so Maguta is the Koopa Nut fiend who gets, like, super strength just thinking about them. So... Be mindful giving him a nut. He might punch you right in the face and knock you out. But anyways, you get that. I didn't know that, man. That's I'm learning all kinds of things I never knew about Nine. But so interesting.
There's a lot of stuff like that. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, and so you will get a new letter though from Atla. So and always make sure. I think I talked about this before, and I'll probably say it again just a reminder. You know, even once you give the letters, it kind of kicks you out of that Mognet thing. Make sure to go back into it always, even if, you know, you don't remember, you know, whatever. Just go into it, back out, and that's when they'll then say, hey, I got a letter. If you just exit after giving them a letter, you won't know that they have one to give you. So anyways, okay. You won't get one from Atla. It's going to be Atla to Manev, I guess, is the name. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have that one's new one. And then you still have the Grimmo to Nazna one as well. So you got those two. And at this point, you kind of just kind of go forward. There's a funny scene right before we get to the big boss battle, right? It's a pretty funny scene, yeah. Right? You got Freya. She, like, everyone's going to the gates. And it's like, oh, the king and all that stuff. And yeah. Freya just jumps to the top and is kind of like, come on, guys. You know, let's go. And of course, Dane's like, you know, easy for you to say. And then so he starts hopping up. And dude, the funniest, oh my gosh, one of the funniest scenes. I did get a clip on this, so be looking out to social media for me posting this. But, you know, he's like, come on, Vivi. And Vivi is like, okay. And his first jump, he just falls straight onto his face.
Yeah. Vivi's not known for his athleticism unless they're escaping from the evil forest.
Yeah, that is Olympic sprinter. He's the same Usain Bolt, as you said.
Faster than anybody, right?
Yeah. So just funny little scene. I love that part. But yeah, here we go, man. It's basically just showing Freya and Zidane because Vivi and Kina had to take the long way around. They're looking, and you see, you know, you see Braun, the big fatso, and then you got Beatrice, right? Beatrice, the knight. It's just crazy, man. She is one cool character, and I know we'll talk about her a lot more throughout the game. But just kind of going back way early to what you were talking about many episodes about with the character development of Steiner, dude. I think it's the same, if not even more, for Beatrice, you know, moving forward in this game. The character development from her is amazing. And so what? She's half cyborg and has, like, a metal plate on her head or something like that. It doesn't matter.
I'd never understood. Again, I mean, we talked earlier about, like, how weird the costume design and all that stuff is in this game. But, yeah, that is really funny. So, yeah, she is revealed as the general. The one that Zorn and Thorn were alluding to earlier.
Of course.
And, of course, Kina, if you try to eat, I know can eat.
It's like, darn!
You know? I don't know why you'd want to, but yeah, it's just kind of funny if you try that. That's just all she ever says for the bosses.
I don't know, man. I mean, it might be like, can I get shock, please? Because it is literally the one-shot wonder here. It's like, you see her winding up shock, and you're like, all right, who's dying? Someone's dying right now. It just sucks. You know, you have to automatically prepare someone with a Phoenix down. Kina did get knocked. She kept targeting Kina for some reason in my recent boss battle. And after the second time, I was like, you're just staying dead. I just kept her dead until the very end. Because it's not worth it. I mean, I only had like 8 Phoenix downs. You know, I didn't want to keep wasting them all just on reviving someone just to die instantly again.
Yeah. And unless you've been grinding battles at this point, there's really no way that anybody's going to be surviving shock. It usually does like 800 damage or something like that, so it'll pretty much wipe out anybody.
Yeah, it must have been their intention, was like, this is just going to be a one-shot ability.
Yep, it's really more of a power show, to be honest, to kind of show you, like, I think it's a good move by the developers in general, you know. It kind of builds that drive for you to want to beat Alexandria and fight them and things like that. Because this first battle, she just wipes the floor with you.
That's true, man. That's actually pretty true, yeah. Because it's displaying that she's not all talk. You know, that she is. What does she say before the fight? It's like, I once defeated 100 knights single-handedly. You two are no more than insects. Exactly, you know, and it's like, it's like, what'd you say to me? And then she's shocked. She's like, oh, okay, you did kill 100 knights single-handedly.
Right. And of course, you know, this is one of those ones that it's kind of a staged fight, I guess you could say. You can't really win it. You're going to get the same outcome.
Yeah.
Regardless of it's some interesting dynamics. I actually had to look this up because we were talking about it. You know, is it timed? Does she have HP? Is it, you know, about defeating her and depleting her HP? So it turns out that it's either or. So it's either 10 turns or you deplete her HP to zero. And I think she has like 3,900 or something like that.
I think it's gonna be. No, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I did get I got a trance with Vivi. And so his double magic with Blizzara was, I mean, I got 2 turns in and she was still kicking. So,
right.
I don't know. But regardless, yeah, she does have a very large health pool. And because of this, no matter what, like you said, 10 turns, you are kind of on a timer for these steals. Now, Phoenix Down is the easy one. You'll most likely get that first time no matter what. Chain Plate, I didn't have my good luck that I had with my steals. And so I did get chain plate. It took me a little bit, but then what's the third one, man? What's the third steal?
This is a real slap in the face, to be honest. This is so funny. Yeah. So I don't know why the developers did this, but the third steal, the rare steal, is one of the hardest steals in the game. It's Mithril Sword, and it's a 0.39% chance of getting that.
Not even a half of a percent.
That is crazy. So if you steal 100 times, you have a 50% chance of, even less than a 50% chance of getting it.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
That is, well, and because you're on a timer, I mean, you're never going to, the only chance is you just got to reload, you know, and just hope that you can get it.
I mean, I don't know why you would do that to yourself, but I have read, I think I know that because guides I followed, Perfect Games, things like that. Some people like to do the steal everything type of game. This is one of those ones where it's really difficult to get that, and it's just a totally average item, to be honest.
That's crazy, man. If anyone out there listening has gotten that, please take a screenshot when it happens and tag us on Instagram so we can just live through you on the
seriously
on the luck. But regardless, you know, that's pretty much it. You just either keep going to town on her. I mean, it's the shock is really kind of the only death blow to a character. She does do quite a bit of damage, but it's not anything that can't be potioned. I mean, you got 4 characters, so usually have one of them be a potion person. Usually Kena, because her damage can be great, but it's not really ever guaranteed. So kind of just have her be a potion person and just kind of go to town on the other 3.
I have seen playthroughs where people haven't gotten Kena, and if that's the case, this is a much more difficult fight.
Oh, yeah, that's true. 3 players.
She is kind of, if you just run straight past that, then you could forego all of that. But
yeah.
Anyways, and then at this point, during the cutscenes, and there's a really nice FMV after you beat Beatrix, where you get to see another potential antagonist.
Yeah.
So
It's quite an interesting thing, right? At first, he's a mystery man for literally like 5 seconds, you know, and then you learn that his name's Kuja. And right. I guess it's a man. We never really, as kids, we never knew, right? We never, and then they did the remastered, so they gave a lot more details. Yeah. It's like he's got feathers in his hair also, which kind of matches his nice dragon that has feathers, you know, which is...
Yeah, I never understood that. Seriously. For anybody listening to this too, you know what I'm talking about. In that FMV, when Freya's looking up and the dragon's flying away, there's feathers. It's like,
yeah, why does the dragon?
Okay.
Yeah, it's a chicken dragon, I guess. You know, it's got feathers, but it is very interesting. You get very very elusive tidbits of info here. Kind of going back to like with the Tantalus group and the river, you know, and how they escaped and all that. And you got to kind of remember these small things because he is walking by and basically, I don't know, basically just brushes aside all the party members. Like, who cares? Nothing. But then he stops at the Zidane and says, this one could be a problem. And how would he know that? You know what I mean? Like, How does he know who Zidane is? Because it kind of seems like maybe he does as this one. And so, something to kind of think about, right? And remember.
That's a good point. No, that's a really good point that I didn't really think about. But yeah, it is sort of, I mean, it's a lot of foreshadowing.
It is, yeah.
That, you know, we'll get into much, much, much later. Because this is something, you're right, you know, he says that. And it's something that you don't really understand that until almost the end of the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think it is something where Kuja either saw something in battle that he recognized or, you know, he saw the potential or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, interesting. We'll get to that more, yeah, as we go along. But before we finish off our little episode here, because we are going to finish after Southgate, let's do C trivia. So Alex is in rank 9, and let's see if he can pass it. So the first question I have here for the rank 9 test is brought to you from Final Fantasy 13. I don't know. I got some easy. I got some easy ones in here, man. I have some easy. I know for a fact. But I wonder about this one. So here's the statement rather. Lightning's real name is Claire Farron.
True.
Okay, next question is Final Fantasy VIII. The, what is it? The Balam Library draw point is life.
False.
Thought I was going to get you. All right. Final Fantasy X.
I just played that.
So. Yeah, I know. But I was like, wonder how much he remembered. All right, Final Fantasy X. The Macarena Temple. The Cloister. the Cloister Trials. When you go through and you use the Destruction Sphere, the treasure that it reveals is a Lux Sphere.
True.
All right, and Final Fantasy nine. That's the next one. Final Fantasy VII. Cloud does in fact have square arms.
Oh man. Yeah, they are pretty blocky. I'm gonna say true.
Final Fantasy.
Perfectly square.
Yeah. Well, see, you might have to go and refresh your geometry there and do some angles. But Final Fantasy IX, Sir Fratley's hat has feathers on the top of it.
True.
Final Fantasy X-2. Shinra doesn't know, man. He's just a kid.
True.
All right. In our last one, we got Final Fantasy XII. All right, the Esper Zalara, I don't, the weird one.
That's how you say it.
I mean, they're all strange, but that one's creepy. It casts magics that are determined on character levels.
Oh, true. I think it's like some like level something death.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say true.
All right, man, let's go through this. So you said true on Lightning's real name is Claire Farron, whatever, and it is, so awesome. The draw point in Balam is not life, it's Asuna, so you got that right. I was like, man, I didn't know which close one I could get to Asuna. You know, if it was Kira, I could say Kira, you know, or something like that.
Right.
All right, the Machlania Cloister of Trials. The treasure for using the Destruction Sphere is Lux Sphere. Good memory on that, man. I didn't remember that at all.
That's a really nice item. That's how I remember that
Yeah, luck in that game is... Luck in all the Final Fantasies, but luck in 10 is quite a stat to have.
Yeah.
All right, Final Fantasy 7. Cloud does have square arms, man. You got it. And all you people that play the remake and all that stuff, nah. We grew up playing on PlayStation. He has arms. And then it goes to, like, this tiny little spot. And then it's, like, Popeye forearms.
I know. It is ridiculous. I love the graphics on that. Like, you know, where you could take him, put him, like, really close to the screen and just look at the character model.
Dude, he is chiseled, is what it is. All right. So... the next one. I didn't know if you were going to get this. So you said that Sir Fratley's hat does have feathers, and it's not feathers, man. It's a big tassel is what it is.
Oh.
Pretty close. Well, you can, okay? And
that's tough.
We just saw Sir Fratley at Bermesia, so that's why I was throwing that in there. Little cutscene, which I'm surprised we didn't talk about that real quick. I know we're in C trivia, but Sir Fratley, it's a very interesting thing because when you're back at Lindblom, he kind of was. Zidane's like, you find your boyfriend kind of a deal. But you don't really know anything, and this is kind of the first glimpse, and it's very interesting because, what, I mean, it alludes back to Beatrice. He's like, you know, there are stronger enemies in the world, I gotta get stronger, and blah, 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 and it's a very interesting thing in which we'll get more into probably in the next episode.
Because we'll have to start off next episode talking about that a little bit.
Yep, good idea. All right, that's what we'll do. All right, 10-2, moving on. Shinra doesn't know. He is just a kid. You hear that about 4 or 5 times in that game, so you got that right. And then Final Fantasy 12. So yeah, Zalera, there are... What is it? It's a level 2 sleep. It's level 3. I don't know, but there's like 4 or 5 of them. And they do. It's determined on the character's level. So it's division is what it is. So if your character is divisible by 3, he'll use level 3 whatever. And that's what actually, that can make that fight really hard. So it's kind of interesting because if you go in there as soon as you can, that fight is already hard to begin with. But you want to kind of maybe be a little strategic with it because, man, you might get knocked out by some hardcore magics just because your character can be divided by 2. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, that's a tough one, man.
Very obscure, but man, you got them all right. You are blasting through them.
Nice. Yes.
So seed rank 9. You make, I don't know, 9,000 more. I don't know how much you actually make in 8 at this point, but hey, there you go.
Yeah.
So.
And that good salary.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to finish up at South Gate, so let's see what's going on there. So the first thing I want to say that we didn't actually talk about at all at the end of last episode is the music. I just pointed out it's another rendition of the Melodies of Life. So at this point, I think, man, I need to count this up because I'm actually kind of just really curious myself about this. I think this is probably about like the 3rd or 4th rendition of that song by now. And
that's a really good point. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to explain because it's like you can kind of tell it's familiar.
Yeah,
when you really listen to it, you're right. It's a rendition of basically the main theme of the game.
I mean, you got Dagger's La La La, you got the open world one, you got this one. So it's at least 3 so far. But it's just interesting. And we talked about this too. Like I think it's really cool that they do this with the Final Fantasies. Is they got usually 1 or 2 main theme songs, and then they do a bunch of different renditions, and it's just kind of cool hearing it a bunch of different ways. And like you said, you kind of listen, and you're like, wait a second, this is, you know, this sounds exactly like this and that. And so, anyways, that little tidbit. But South Gate, so you get to the South Gate, it's it's a very small area, not really anything to do here, but there is a shopkeeper, and what's the importance of the shopkeeper?
Well, so it's the Moogle that's there, I think. Is it Nazna? Yeah, it's Nazna. Well, at least the one that I'm talking about where he has a couple of items that are going to be missable after this point.
Okay.
So Silver Gloves and Air Racket, it's important to just go ahead and stock up on those if you can. Silver Gloves are less important. I believe they are there's only one synthesis item later, I think, for that. But Air Racket's pretty nice to get if you want to synthesize a whole bunch of Tiger Rackets later on in the game. So if you haven't played through Final Fantasy IX, this is all going to be kind of irrelevant. But anyways, I'd just like to point out that some of these items are missable because past this point, and I was actually just thinking, you won't be able to come back to this place.
That's right.
Yeah, it's pretty much... Final Fantasy IX does this a lot. There's a lot of areas that you can never return to. So
yeah, this is one miserable. Of them. Yeah, and... I mean, what was the... Multina Racket was the one you just got. And so Air Racket is not as good, but that's what it is. You haven't had a chance to get it yet, I don't think. And so Air Racket's there. It also... The shop also has a Mithril Rod, which is... pretty good. Nice. I think that has life on it. And so...
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, and so if you want to kind of hold off on the Multina Racket and kind of get life going, you know, to master, that's going to be your Mithril Rod. And other than that, it's kind of, you know, Rusty's just like, let's gather some intel while we wait on the train. So you kind of just got to talk to some things. And as you leave that kind of little... I guess cafe area or whatever, you hear some familiar voices, right? And so that's how you kind of progress it is you get Marcus and Cinna are there. They pop out of nowhere. You walk into them talking about Bundt Cake is what it is. And it's like, right. Sin misses his ride. He's like, you know, Marcus is like, if you weren't watching scenery and eating bunt cake, you know, and Sin is kind of like, oh, well, let's go eat some more bunt cake, you know, and it's just,
yeah,
it's a good point. Or a part,
it's
rather.
This whole running gag of the Southgate bunt cake.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck all about, but
it's
basically
the best bunt cake.
Yep, and it's really funny if you go into kind of around the Moogle that we were just talking about, in that little interior area where there's the shops and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's a little one of those Chef Meister guys where you can talk to and can't actually buy a bunt cake, but he offers it or recommends it or something like that.
Yeah, he tells you all about it, that's for sure. So something that we didn't just talk about. So Nazna. The Moogle, he is there, and so you can give him the letter, or she, I don't know, I guess it's a girl, and you will get a new one. You'll get Nazna to Mochos? I don't know how to say
Mochos,
that.
I always thought, I don't know.
Yeah, but anyway, so you
got, as good as mine.
You got that one, and you just got the one that you just got from Atla as well. So those are, you finally turn in, like, the two. Well, the one from Atla you've been holding for a long time. So you got that one. And now this new one from Nazna. So don't forget to get those. And yeah, so Senna, it's funny because they go in, right? And Steiner's in there. And it's the first thing you go, you know, you're controlling Dagger. You go back in. He's like, scoundrels. And then it progresses through. And Dagger yells at Steiner. And it's just funny because, you know, Senna's like, he's being scolded. Marcus says, how embarrassing.
How embarrassing. Seriously. Dagger's just like, Adalbert Steiner, can I not just talk to my friends? And he's obviously just taken back from that. He's still holding on to that grudge. This is kind of part of that character development that we were talking about with Steiner. This is all part of it. He's changing. He's having to change because at this point in the game, he's very much still holding on to that hatred of Tantalus and kidnapping the princess and whatnot. So
and that's what he even says. You know, it's like, are you here to kidnap her again? Pretty much, and so
right.
Yeah,
he just doesn't trust him.
But the train comes, and you hop on it, and it's just kind of some more dialogue between Marcus and Dagger, where, you know, they're kind of just figuring out. You find out that the Tantalus troop has a lead on a super soft to save their bro, and there's only one person that he calls bro, and that's, that's me, actually. So, no.
Bro?
It's not me. It's good old Blank, who is still petrified. But things kind of change, right? So it's kind of interesting because Dagger is, you know, she's trying to make it back to her mom, which we know is not even in Alexandria, but she's trying to make it back to talk to it. But she kind of shifts here. I don't know if Trino is on the way to Alexandria. Like, we know how it happens, but, you know, this train. But regardless, she wants to go to Trino with Marcus to try to help out because she feels partly responsible for it. And so it's just kind of a little bit of, you know, story there. And I was just, well, I'll save this last little bit after the boss battle because the train stops and there's a demon outside, isn't there?
Yep. And guess who it is? Let's see. What was the last boss that we're fighting right over Southgate? Black Waltz 3, of course. And yeah, I mean, you know, it's a fairly easy fight, to be honest. He's already weakened at this point. Pretty much the same moves as last time. He's got a physical attack that does about 120. He's got Thundera, I believe, again. Does have a couple of new tricks up his sleeve. He can use Freeze at this point, which is pretty nasty. Freeze is a status that you haven't seen yet, but if he happens to freeze one of your characters and then uses a physical attack, it kills him instantly, so that's a pretty nasty move.
That is, and you know, that's interesting because, I mean, clearly he's got a screw or two loose because he's just, like, wigging out. But I literally, right before we recorded here about an hour ago, I did this fight, and he didn't use any of that stuff. That's why I was like, in the notes I said, not a really challenging fight because I was like, man, this was just really easy. We just took him down easily. Now, the great thing is you do have Marcus, so they had to throw in someone that could steal for you. Nothing too great. Steepled Hat, you've been able to have those for a while now. You probably just did get a Lightning Staff. If you opened that chest, I don't know why you wouldn't have in Bermesia. But if you didn't, well, you're getting it here. If you did, well, now you have two. And then the new one is the Flame Staff. So it's kind of funny, man. We just talked about it. You don't get any staffs with Vivi, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, here's an Ice Staff. Here's a Flame Staff. Here's two Lightning Staffs. It's Well, thanks. I don't think the steals are particularly low percentages. I didn't have any challenge getting them. So
I don't think they're very low either. I'm not sure exactly what they are, but if you do really want to get all of them, it's not too difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, straightforward, man, for the most part. Steiner, Marcus attack after Marcus is stealing. And the kind of cool thing here is, I mean, obviously you have Dagger, she can heal, but if you don't want to, and if you've done a normal amount of battles, you should have a pretty decent stockpile of potions. And if you've had the cotton robes, you've been able to have multiple chances of getting as well. They have chemist. And so with her, if you just want to use potions, I mean, that's it. Like you said, he deals about 120. You use a potion with chemist, it heals for 300. So, and that's actually, I think Steiner, even with the 10%, only has about, you know, about probably a maximum of 400, depending on how many battles you've fought. And so pretty good at just healing them right back up. So,
yeah. I don't really have anything else to add to that either. It's a pretty easy one, so...
Yeah. All right, well, you do that. You land. And something I wrote down, because I didn't think about this until today, was, you know, you have kind of the next rest stop, and then you can either go to Trino or you can go to Dali, in which we'll be covering that in the next episode, of course. But something I didn't think about is, so you have that part-time worker, Mary. She's been around for a while at the South Gate. You were way back, you know, you have to kind of distract her and all that, and she's been riding on the train with you. And then she gets to her shop, and you can buy potions and stuff. And so I started thinking, like, she was way back at the South Gate where Zidane was talking at the South Gate, and she sold potions, and she's selling potions now. So I'm like, is she that sexy, husky voice? Is that her? Is it part-time worker, Mary?
Oh, man. If only Zidane knew.
I know, right? Here you go, Zidane. Now's your chance, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. Could be. Could be.
Could be.
Definitely.
Yeah. But that is where we're going to leave it for today, man. We didn't say it, but we got through Disc 1. So originally, if you played it way back when, like when we did, you know, Bermesia was Disc 1, and you're like, boom, Disc 2. And so we're progressing through, man. It's been a lot of fun. We got some, I mean, just infinitely more things to talk about, right, with the story. Yeah. And so we are quite enjoying this progress, and we hope that you're all enjoying it just as much as we are. So we thank you all, as always, for listening, spending time with us. Don't forget to check the website, Final Stop for FinalFantasyTalks.com, as well as our social media. It's pretty much just Instagram at this point. So look for that, our handle on Instagram. Follow us. Literally, we were talking about this yesterday. You know, we try to follow as much stuff as possible ourselves, but no one really posts as much screenshots and clips of just Final Fantasy IX. We'll toss in 10 every once in a while, maybe some others. And it's fun, man. I really like doing it. I like doing the posts and stuff and taking the screenshots and stuff. So if you're interested in seeing that stuff, absolutely check us out on Instagram. But, you know, if not, oh well. It's okay. We appreciate you listening. That's that. I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is Final Stop for Final Fantasy Talks.